I wish I had something real nice, like, you know, when we read on Mother's Day, the Proverbs 31 woman, it is unbelievable, isn't it? But I didn't find anything like that for us dads. So I guess God is saying, be thankful if you have a Proverbs 31 woman for a wife, mother, whatever. And dads, let's step up to the plate and get going. We've got a perfect example, no matter what our earthly examples were like at times. So happy Father's Day. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, continuing on in our heroes of the faith, and hopefully being able to take some little pieces of God's word and trying our humanly best to put them into our lives in a real application. This is a living word. It has changed lives ever since the first words went out. It's going to continue to as long as we heed them and try to apply them. I've been looking into Hebrews 11, and just especially with Moses, you know, we have the sovereignty of God. There's things that only God can do. Don't ever try to be God. Don't ever try to think that you know better or we know better than he does, or this is the way you should have or could have. There's the sovereignty of God, and there's human responsibility. And this section with Moses has just jumped out about the responsibility. Once we're saved, once we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, once we say we love him and we are Christians, there's a responsibility that one day I will be held to. That's a scary thought in one breath, but I know I have a loving Father who knows my humanness. So as we look at Moses today and we see these little applications possibly for each one of our lives, let's just remember that God is not done with any one of us yet. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. I've said this over and over for years, but that doesn't make excuse for being lax, for saying, well, it's just my Irish heritage that gets me like I am most of the time. No excuses. It's time to look forward, as these heroes of our faith did, to the reward that lies before us, but also to realize that one day I will give account for everything to an almighty God who loves me beyond anything I can ever fathom. He's an easy God to love. He's an easy God to follow. So last week we left off in verse 27 of Hebrews 11. By faith, and we're speaking again Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And what we've been trying to do is look at all the different kinds of faith. You know, we have faith, but there are so many different aspects within faith as we walk it and talk it and try to live it each and every day. Some days we have a whole, what's your word, plethora, today was Tom's, of different types of faith that come into our lives. Other times sometimes it's just the faith that all we got to do is just hold on and not let go. And if so, let him drag us along. So we look in 27, and what I found in here, and I hope we see it as an application for our lives, is really three types of faith in here. There's a fearless faith. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So we have a fearless faith, and it's not a foolish faith. It's not a faith that, you know, we don't logically or rationally think, but it's a fearless faith because my God told us, promised in his word, I have not given you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. You know, my father, I remember him. I don't know about your dads. He used to tell, how many times do I have to tell you this? And I'd always, well, I guess one more time because I'm hearing again. God is saying that. What do we fear? And I watch as, you know, Christians today, not only us as Christians, but the majority of people that we bump into, there is nothing but fear out there. What if? What's going to happen? Oh, the IRS. Oh, you know, I lied. Oh, we're shaking on every turn, I feel, when God says, I didn't give you that. That's coming from the world. That's coming from circumstance. That's coming from things that are happening. And I wonder what would it be like if we can even begin to walk into that fearless kind of faith. Not arrogance, not stupidity. I'm not saying that, you know, walking into a collapsing building as it's coming down. I'm talking about faith in God as we see here. And a faith that would calm my fears, at least. Sometimes they don't get taken away. We are, remember, we're dual in our nature. We are spirit and we are flesh. And that is part of our human blessing is fear. And sometimes fear is good. Fear can keep us from stepping into situations that we shouldn't. We also see an enduring faith, or it says, for he endured. He endured. And endurance is something like, well, you know, that's it. I've had it. And it's been about a week. That's not endurance. Endurance goes on and on and on. Yes, we blow it a little bit every now and then, and I give up. I've had it. I'm not going any further. But endurance is continuing, just walking after God, holding on to his promises and his word till the end, till the very end. And then what we saw in the last part of that, Moses saw him who was invisible, saw God. I mean, I look at that and I think, what is that? Well, that's the eyes of faith. What do your eyes see? You know, sometimes we look at people and we see things like, oh, look at that guy. Look at that woman. Look at this one. Look at that one. I mean, I remember one day and as some of you know this, there was a guy walking through town when I was heading for church, and he had on these giant pants that were striped, and he had on some Jerry Garcia, you know, I used to be one, a shirt and I thought, my goodness, that must have taken him all day to put that outfit together. I don't know why that came in, but it did. Well, within 15 minutes, that man, that young gentleman, and some of you remember him, walked in the back door and put me to shame. Long, giant dreadlocks. I had a crew cut at that time when I had hair, you know, and I used to cut it off. Now I try to grow it and it won't, but eyes of faith. What do you see when you look at somebody? What do you see? What do you and I see when we look at situations that come into our life? I want to have the eyes of Jesus. That's what Moses did here. Eyes of faith. He was seeing things that were unseen. He was seeing things that were way out in the future. And we, you know, in that song today, when everybody else saw a little shepherd boy, what did God see? A king. God saw a king right from the very beginning and worked within that. This is the type of faith that you and I need to begin to, not just experience at times, but walk in. So today we're going to look at 28 and 29, and it says, through faith, he, being Moses again, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they, and if you underline in your word, underline that they, because it's very important. We just skipped from Moses' faith, that we'll look at in a minute, to a group faith, if you would, of people that basically were following him, hanging around with him. And we're going to see that there are more people watching us than we realize, trying to see what kind of faith do we really have. Is this guy, is this gal, are they real? Do they really believe what they say when they're just bloviating out there in the public? By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Father God, help us to take these and not only see the history that was involved here, but that we might see what it is that you have for each one of us personally, for us as a body of Christ corporately, Lord, that we might be able to, in our human responsibility, follow you in your sovereignty. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 28, kept the Passover. He kept the sprinkling of the blood. If you would, these are ordinances. There's a load of ordinances that the churches follow, and each church has different ones in a sense, but these are two very important ordinances that we still exist in today. Those two are communion and I'll wait on the next one. Baptism, I might as well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. What we're seeing here is the essence of our faith today. And I hope I can open it up to see how important these ordinances are. They were given by God way back when, but they weren't to be just dropped and forgotten. They weren't to be configured to where they're comfortable for us in this church or whatever. So let's just turn to Exodus chapter 12. I want to look at that first ordinance. Exodus 12, we're going to look at 21 through 28. This is also that story. So he kept the Passover. He kept the sprinkling of the blood. We'll get into, I hope. Sometimes some of the things that the church is involved in might seem like foolishness, but they're not foolishness. They're the word of God. The things that he meant to continue, if we can use that word, to continue in our lives until the day that we stand face to face with him. And that's part of the well done, good and faithful servant. Well, why didn't you take communion? Well, I didn't feel worthy. Well, wait a minute. If you didn't feel worthy, you already examined yourself. You already thought about it. And that's all he asks. When you come to that table, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. He forgives us at that point, and he wants to begin to work with us at that point. So here we're going to look at this two ordinances that Moses kept, as foolish as they might have seemed at that time, and as foolish as some of them seem to us today, or the people that are watching us out there. It says in verse, we'll just go 21 in chapter 12. It says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. This was the first part of the ordinance where he issued Passover over to them, Moses keeping it. But for us today, saving faith, this is part of that saving faith prior to Jesus Christ. But saving faith always requires a blood sacrifice. Don't miss that. That's what happened with that lamb. And as we look at everything, a blood sacrifice is all through Hebrews 11, in a sense. Abraham, blood sacrifice. Abel and Cain, blood sacrifice. We see it there. It's necessary. What does that mean for me today? And I'll repeat it, I hope, a few times. There is nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that's going to save us, period. Amen. It's not rules. It's not regulations. It's not rituals. It's a personal faith in the blood of Christ to atone for my sin. And that's the thing. It's not, am I a good guy or am I a bad guy? We're all born in sin. We've all come short of God's glory. How do I correct that? The blood of Jesus Christ. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out that door of the house until the morning. This is a symbol of the cross. It's when they, you know, put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel, we'll read that in a minute if I get going, will pass over them. Foolishness, doesn't it say? Throw a little blood on a doorpost and everything will be all right. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel, when he sees the blood on you, that you're covered under the cross by the blood of Jesus Christ, the death angel no longer has any hold on us. There's no fear in death. There's no fear in what any man or the world can do to me because of that blood, not for anything else, not how much I know, not how much strong I am or whatever else. For the Lord will pass, 23, through, smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Our salvation, his blood. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons whenever it feels good. Forever. What did the Lord mean when he said forever? He meant forever. until we again come face to face into his presence. So this ordinance is something that we should be celebrating. We should be excited about it. We should understand that this blood is why I am here today, why I can still stand even. And it shall come to pass, 25, when you come to the Lamb, which the Lord will give you according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. Here he is telling us again, do this. Kind of goes into our communion now. This service, this Passover. We might not do the Seder feast, let's say, like we used to. Remember way back, every year we'd do a Seder feast. We'd bring somebody in. They were excellent. I don't know why we stopped in a sense, but we'll keep this service even unto today. And it shall come to pass, 26, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? And dads, you know, when I say dads step up, men step up. Let's start telling our kids what this stuff means. It shouldn't be, I don't care how young they are. And I never want to exclude a child from a communion service. Mom and dad or auntie and uncle, we should be bending over and telling our children this represents the blood of Jesus Christ. This represents the broken body of Jesus Christ that he gave for you. Let them know when they're young, and they're going to not depart from it when they're old. Excellent example being Moses. His parents obviously taught him an awful lot when he was being nursed and being taken care of and whatnot. Verse 27, that you shall say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. 28, and the children of Israel went away. This is the important part that I, and did as the Lord had commanded. This is what the Lord requires, and I don't do it. I just follow my own stubborn self. And all God's asking is just do what I say. Just as foolish as it might seem at the time, as old and ancient of an ordinance as this might be, Jesus Christ is in this. Do we understand that? He's here in presence with us through these ordinances. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the application, again, obey. It's what the Lord wants from us. We've been speaking about this. Jesus Christ himself learned obedience through the things he suffered. Some of the things we go through, we feel, brings an awful lot of suffering. Some within this body have suffered great losses, great trials and tribulations. He knows our suffering. And all he's trying to do is get us to obey so that when the next trial, and this is not, oh boy, the next trial is going to be harder than the last one. Trust me. The enemy of our souls doesn't keep sending little tiny, just little things after us. You got through that one. We'll give them this one then. They made it through this one on that faith. We'll give them a step up the game a little bit. That's why God is allowing. That's why God is asking us, just obey my word. And as foolish as it might seem, just obey it. Turn to John 20. John 20, 29, we've all heard this. You know, when we see these ordinances, when we hear God speaking to us, when we hear and obey, our first thing is, well, what's in it for me? Well, I'm not sure about this. Well, it doesn't seem right. Jesus said the same thing about Thomas at this point in time, and I'll only use for time's sake the verse 29. Jesus, and this is Thomas, well, I'll believe all that when I touch these wounds, when I see the hole in your side. That's just like us today. Jesus Christ is saying, I'm never going to leave you. I'll never forsake you. I love you with an everlasting love. We hear these things, and then the trouble comes as Moses. Fear comes in, and we lose everything that Jesus Christ is in because I can't see it. I can't rationalize it. I don't understand. Well, Jesus says to Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen me, now, see, that's who's your saint? Is that show me or whoever they are? Yeah, why do we have to see? Who is it?
Well, Indiana's
India. Oh, I forgot. You're from there. That's right. I'm sorry about that. We don't have New York just has, forget about it. But we should forget about some of the things of this world because it's passing. We're going on to something much, much better because he promised. And all we have to do is just endure. Have that fearless faith. Have a faith that sees things a little bit differently. Because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Wow. But see, that's foolish. I got to understand. That'd be stupid almost, you know, if I could use that word, to just really believe God is going to do this, God is going to do that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. No, better be 1 Corinthians 2:14. There it is. Yeah, so Moses, all the things that we're seeing of him so far, and I can't repeat them in time, but he believed. He had a fearless faith. He had a faith that endured and went through things. He had eyes of faith that saw something different. When you and I are believing that this cross of Jesus Christ is what saved my life. The unbelievable atoning sacrifice is all that's involved. Not that God couldn't do without me. Not that God couldn't do without you. And I need Rick in my life to do this or that. Or, you know, I need, can I use Rob? I use Rob. I won't make you, I'll just use your initials. Why do we think like that? We're supposed to be believers. And this week I've just been focusing on this verse 14 of chapter 2, and it says, but the natural man, the unsaved, the ones that don't have a faith at all, it says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. I take communion. I observe a Passover. I keep the ordinances of the church. I hear God say something, and people look at you and say, have you left your mind at the door when you go into church? What, don't you know any better? Haven't you, whatever they might state to you, that's an unbeliever. The things that we have, the fact that we are headed, we have more time ahead of us, I've said that, than we've had behind us, whatever you are. Whatever age it might be. I got 74. There's people more than that. Don, you're our Betty Moshe now. Yes. But we have more time ahead of us than we have behind us. Because God said so. It's eternity that we're looking for. It's the reward of eternal life that we should be focusing on. Not looking as we see the natural man doing. Foolishness. Just do it. If we hear something this week and we know that it's coming from God, just do it. Remember Mary at the wedding feast of Cana? They ran out of wine. She goes and speaks to the guys, go get those water jugs and fill them up. These water jugs were not a little one-quart pitcher that they were walking around. One of them, or maybe more, were 100-gallon water jugs. Go fill those things up with water. You read the story this week. When the master of the house tasted, he said, this is the best stuff going. That was full. The servants are going, fill them up with water. Everybody wants wine. What are we going to do? Jesus was in it, though. And they responded, salute, God bless, and sneeze no more. Just do it. Verse 29, if we go back to that quickly. And I'll try my best again. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. This is improbable faith. The Red Sea. So, I mean, in our minds, I hate visualizations, but in your mind, think about that. I came from the East Coast. So when I'd stand out there at Jones Beach and look out there, you could see as far as you wanted to see at times. So you're looking at something like that, and now I'm supposed to cross that, is what Moses had in his, you know, part of that story. Improbable faith and impossible faith. Hey, you know, I can't. Exodus 14. Should have had you put something right there at 12. Exodus chapter 14. As you turn, and I'll keep talking. And Moses in verse 13 said unto the people, fear not. And I think that's what God's trying to tell us. Every one of you, if I wrap this up in a minute, you've got some kind of a Red Sea experience that you're going through right now. And if not, within who knows what the time frame might be, you're going to turn around and see something chasing you to a point where you're blocked in, you know, in our human thinking. We've all got some Red Sea experience in front of us. So here's Moses saying unto the people, fear not, stand still. See, we get running. I mean, we'll run into a wall. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody in a complete panic, but we'll run ourselves into a wall. We'll run out into a street with traffic or whatever. Stand still in this Red Sea experience that you're about to enter into this week or this month or what it might be, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. God's going to take care of our problems. This is the same as 2 Chronicles 20. Remember this? This battle's too big for us. It's way too big for us. And what is it? He says, the battle is too big for you. Stand still. Watch the salvation of your Lord. Tomorrow, go out and do this and do that, and your Lord will fight for you. And they watch their enemies be taken over. I think the same is still the word of God, and it's for us today in our Red Sea experience. We could run crazy and try to take care of it ourselves. There is in our responsibility certain things we need to do, but we need to stand still, turn ourselves, bow ourselves if we would. And again, when was the last time that because I can't get up so good anymore, when was the last time that I just put myself out and said, God, it's too big for me. I can't handle this anymore. I can't do it. I'm drowning. I got, you know, look at what I got in front of me. It's an impossible task you're asking, and I got the enemy chasing me behind. What am I supposed to do? Stand still, is what he says. The Lord your God, 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. That means, what is, I think in some of the translations, I look at it as a new ex-New Yorker, you know, it's been a lot of years, but just shut up. I mean, just shut up and do something. I mean, Doug, be quiet. That's what Dad used to tell Teddy and I. Shut up and listen to yourself, because we'd always be complaining. And I thought, that's impossible. How could I shut up and listen to myself? Well, I think God is asking, just be quiet. Don't lift a finger. Let me do this. If I get in there, I'm going to mess it up. And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Too many of us are going backward. We're going back to what ifs. I know this in marriages. Well, you know, that happened in my first one, and now look at the same thing. No, it's not. Every situation is different. Everything that we fall into is going through God's hands first. And they're custom designed for us to grow our faith, to grow our obedience, to get us to endure through the next trial, the next tribulation. And the Red Sea is a beautiful example given to us by the Lord of what is possible when we look to him. So you know the rest of the story. It's, you know, Moses went out there and he picked up his rod, put his hand up, and the Red Sea parted. I mean, this to me is, and the world, that you really believe that? I mean, it's just a story. No, it's a story, but it's a true story. God told it. God did it. Well, you really, I mean, come on, can you believe he parted the Red Sea? The Egyptians went through, and who knows how deep, and they're looking at fish and whales and sharks or whatever they had in there, I don't know. They're walking through it like, what's going on? And then when they got onto the other side, boom, the enemy who was chasing them was overpowered, drowned, taken out. That's foolishness, isn't it? For the natural man, maybe, but not for my God. I heard Chuck Smith one time say, if God told me that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe him. Not the whale swallowing Jonah. I mean, this is our God. Why are we limiting him in our lives today? We've all got these Red Sea experiences. So I'm going to try to Tell me, Taffy. I get concerned if you're visiting that. I don't, you know, the mind can only endure, absorb what the other parts can endure sitting. I don't want to go on too long, but I think every one of us are going to be in a situation this week that only God is going to get us out of. And there might be somebody in here today that you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. You might not have any animosity towards him. You might, you know, you just don't believe in him. It's your only way of salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only redemption that we'll have. And we might not see it here on this side, but one day we will stand before him and give an account. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Your Red Sea, my Red Sea. It all started, remember, with choice in the very beginning of this when we started. There was a choice that had to be made. Every one of us has to make choices every day. Good ones, bad ones. If you make a bad one, correct it. Just correct it and get on with a godly right choice. That right choice, when we see that we made this and God is working in this, begins to give us courage for the next trial, tribulation, Red Sea, whatever it is. And then when we have that courage, we can step into it. And it's not me, it's God. And now we have confidence in God, just like David. Who is this Philistine dog, the Goliath? And the song today was Seth, thank you. I might not face a Goliath, but I have my Red Seas and my problems and whatnot. But who is this uncircumcised Philistine dog? My God delivered me from the paw of the lion, the mouth of the bear. He's going to deliver me from this problem too. Do we have that kind of eyes of faith, if you would? That I'll endure no matter what until I stand before him. And instead of apologizing, I might be able to stand there and just say, thank you, so be it. You're just. Thank you for your mercy. Are you facing a Red Sea experience today? I'm sure someone is. We are. Is it as impossible right now as you look at what you're facing at the time? And if it is impossible, just like Moses, as he thought he was running from the problem, in a sense, trying to get out, he was exactly where God wanted him at that time, to see his power, to see his grace. He eliminated any human intervention at this time. Are you at that point? Do you feel like, and we've said this 100 times, why me, Lord? Why am I going through this? Why not you? You know, why not you, Doug? I thought you said you loved me for 43 years. I have, Lord, you know. Well, why not you then in this situation? My eyes are looking for someone to show him strong, not me. He's roaming all over. Why not me? Why not you? Maybe you are exactly where God wants you today in this experience so that his power, his might, can be seen. God did not remove the Red Sea. He could have done, I mean, it's God now. Is anything too hard for God? So why do something like this? God could have just said, Red Sea's gone, across they went. He wanted something in Moses and the people. And this was group faith. Remember I said they got across? There was a lot of, there was probably unbelievers in that group. I have no doubt about that. And they were watching, and they watched Moses, and he put his hand up, and boom, the walls go up. Everybody's going across. They turn around. Everything comes down. The enemy is surrounded. That's, you know, group faith, your faith, my faith, can encourage somebody to follow in a way that they might never have done before. So when we look at these experiences, remember, he didn't do away or remove the Red Sea. He opened a way through it. He doesn't always remove our problems, but he promises us that he'll give us a way through them. Amen. So the Red Sea, I'll wrap it up with this one. As we read the story of Moses in Hebrews 11, and God is trying to impart some different kind of faith to us, the Red Sea for Moses represents my troubles, your troubles, my trials that I go through, your trials that you go through. Impossible situations. Impossible. I'm in an impossible. You don't understand. Try me. Try me. I don't have a glass bubble around me as a pastor. Try him. He didn't have a glass bubble around because he said, I believe in Jesus. Try her. They know what trials are. They know what little red seas are, what big red seas are. God didn't take them away for us either, but he promised a way through it. My last one, if I could, Isaiah 43. And we will end with this, I promise. So as we think about, and I'd really encourage us all, go back this week and sit with Hebrews 11. Maybe just focus on Moses and be asking God, what have you gotten here from me? What's the lesson I'm to learn in this, Father God? As you give me just a regular, you know, Moses made mistakes. Don't think this was a great man of unbelievable stamina and faith. He made mistakes just like you and I. So God, show me what it is that you've got that can help me through my Red Sea experience today. Isaiah 43, what can help me through whatever the problem is today, the giant you might be facing, the Red Sea you might be facing, the enemy that's chasing you, the world situations. What do I have? I've got God and his protection. If God is for me, who can be against me? That's fear. When I can name who can be against me, my bills, my health, my family, my son, my daughter, whatever it might be, if God is for me, I'm protected. But now, and not Doug, and yeah, it's Old Testament, but you know what? It's every bit as rich and real as it is this very minute as it was then. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Again, there it is. For I have redeemed thee. Remember today, nothing can redeem you and me except the blood of Jesus Christ. You can search and search and search. There is one way into heaven. And that's through the blood of the Lamb, just like when we started. Thank you. I've called thee by your name. Thou art mine. He knows our name. He's going to give us a new name one day, too. I can't wait for that one. When you pass through the waters, verse 2. You know, this was for Israel, but it applies to us today every bit as much. When you pass through the waters, ever feel like you're drowning? Ever feel like you can't even breathe sometimes? It's just too much. I'm going. I'm feeling it start to go. Just wind me up. It's Father's Day. I lost my daughter, my wife, and I lost our girl to cancer. I'm drowning. Drowning. But then I think I got a hand reaching down that's pulling me out. And you know what? You're drowning over. But there's a hand that's reaching out, and all he's saying is, grab a hold. Grab a hold. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I got to read 16 and 21. You read the rest this week. Thus saith the Lord again. I don't know what it's going to take to get it into my head. With as exhausted as I get sometimes, with as I can't go anymore, guys. I'm done. I got nothing. God says, thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea. See, he didn't take it away. He's not, I'll make a way in it. That's so important for us to hear. I'm going to make a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, which brings forth the chariot and the horse. So the enemies chasing me, the army and the power, they shall lie down together. They will not rise. They'll be extinct. They're quenched as tow. He's putting it out. Remember you not the former things. Oh, yeah, but I tried that once. I tried getting saved. I tried faith in the Lord. But, you know, oh, man, after 2 weeks, everything went wrong in my life. No, endurance. If God grants us to live till 90 to 100, it's moving through all this stuff with him until that day he calls us home. Don't remember the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Stop living in the past. We speak more about what I did on the wrestling mats and what I did on the football field and when I was a cop. Boy, you should have seen when I... Stop that stuff. We need to be saying, look where I'm going. Because of the blood of the Lamb, I'm heading for heaven. I don't care what's chasing me. God will take care of it. You know, just get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Let God take care of it. Behold... Last word, behold, I will do a new thing. And you know, this new thing, it's not new in a sense, but it's God's mercy. It's God's grace. It's God's love for us. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? What a word. I mean, a little tiny word, it, is in there. It's going to spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Sometimes the Red Sea, there's no question in our life. You look at it, God opens it up, you all of us say, well, that's the way. Let's just go. But there's going to be some days in our responsibility. That was God's sovereignty. There was no question. Enemy, clear path. Death, life. Boom, that worked. But sometimes, just like in the swelling of the Jordan, remember when the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant? The river Jordan was swelling its banks. It was overflowing its banks. And what God told those people at that time, you go and put your feet into the Jordan. So they got the Ark. Nobody else is allowed to touch. He told them, put your feet in the Jordan. And it wasn't until they stepped into it that the waters parted, went back, and they crossed there. Sometimes you're going to have a Red Sea. That's where you might be right now. Other times it looks so foolish. If I do that, I'm going to die. If I do that, everything will fall apart. If I do that, it'll never work. God's saying, put your foot in it. Put your foot in it, in your responsibility, because I'm telling you that, and watch what I can do in my sovereignty. Father God, help us. Help us. This world, Father, is just... The tyranny of the cries every day of this world bring doubts, bring fear, even bring us to a point where we think we can figure things out on our own. Help us, Lord, to depend on you. Help us to turn our eyes to you. Help us to look full in your wonderful face. And these things of earth will grow strangely dim. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's worship.